Good morning. Would you stand with us today? It's good to see you in the house of the Lord. I believe we're going to have a monumental service. Amen. That's, of course, is the theme of our VBS. I walked in this morning. I thought, I hope all the decorations on the platform does not mean that the service is going to be dry. Boo. Let's just pray that it's filled with the presence of the Lord today. Help me pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We just honor you and praise you, and we just ask, God, that you would just move in this service this morning. We pray, God, for your blessing. We thank you for all you've done, and we just ask that you guide and direct us through this service in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Well, let's worship the Lord this morning, singing and worshiping his name. Amen. Death is beaten, you have rescued me. Sing it out, Jesus is alive. The empty cross, the empty grave, life eternal, you have won the day. Shout it out, Jesus is alive. Is alive. He's alive. And oh, happy day, happy day, you wash my sin away. Oh, happy day, happy day, I'll never be the same. Forever by, I'll fly away. Give about four or five people a greeting, give them a high five, and say, I'm gonna fly away one day. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. Man, how many of you, sometimes you just feel popular? You know what I mean? You feel like you really, something, you've done something right. Today, appreciate you guys all copying me and wearing the same shirt, so thank you. You said, man, Pastor Phil is so cool, I want to look like him. Even Pastor copied me today. Pastor, thank you. So, no, we are advertising and excited about our Vacation Bible School. And so we're excited about, how many of you are, let's see, some of you aren't wearing your shirts, but would you stand this morning, even if you're not wearing your shirt, and you're going to help with Vacation Bible School? Look at all these volunteers that are going to pour into our students and into our community this week. Amen, 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 amen. Listen, we know not all of you can come and be a part of it. It's in the morning, and some of you have jobs and other obligations that are pulling you away from this. There's several of you that have poured into it and won't be here during the week, including, if you see all these decorations up here, these are the creation of Debbie Blevins, and yes. Appreciate your heart, Debbie, to invest, even though you're not going to be able to be here during the VBS itself. As we told you yesterday, you're going to be right here in our little hearts. And so, but we want to invite, if you know some kids that are age 3 through 5th grade, we would love for them to come be a part of our Vacation Bible School this week. It'll be every day from Monday through Friday, 9 to about 11:45 in the morning, and we're excited about it. I'm most excited about the snacks myself. I'll be trying to avoid the game area because that includes exercise. So, anyway, we want you to come be a part of that. Also, don't forget that this Tuesday, it's going to come by really quick. I don't know how you could forget if you've been checking your mail, but this Tuesday is the elections. This is all the primaries and everything. We want to just encourage you to get out and vote, all right? Get out and use your responsibility. I think it's a God-given responsibility for us to, as believers, to go out and use our vote
to elect people who are going to further the gospel. Amen? Amen. And we've got kids camp coming up the end of July. Thank you for those of you who prayed for youth camp. It was wonderful. We did. Haven't got to talk to you about it because I left immediately for vacation. I went to Branson, and yep, that's enough to be said about that. And I left my wallet there too. So, but anyway, kids camp. There's no more spots. But if you have signed up your young person to go with Pastor Chad, he'll have further information coming soon about when you leave and all of that if you don't already know. Also, we still have opening for nursing home ministry. If that's something you feel like the Lord's calling you to or something you believe you could be capable to step up and help us with, it's on Thursdays at 3 p.m. And Pastor would love to talk to you about that. And at this time, I'm going to ask the ushers to come as we give of the tithe and offering this morning. Amen. Amen, amen. Amen. As they come, I want to just remind you that on Wednesday nights, we have a lot going on, including in the youth department. If you are in 6th to 12th grade, we'd love for you to come be a part of what we do. It starts at 7 o'clock, although you can come at 6:30 for the pre-service. This week is the slip and slide kickball. And on the back of your bulletin, you'll see all the different things that we do each Wednesday, and I'd love for you to be a part of each of those things too. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for all you're doing in and through our church. We pray, Lord, a special just anointing over our VBS this week. And Lord, we pray over all the different the camps and even missions trips that's coming up in just a few weeks. Lord, we pray, Lord, you would bless all of those things along with the giving today. Lord, multiply it. Lord, our deepest desire, the desire of our heart, is that people would come to know you as their personal Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. After the offering bag passes, we're going back into worship.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Phil. Built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ
stone.
sound. Oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone. Faultless we stand before. Stand before the throne, Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. Declare it one more time. And Christ alone, my cornerstone, the weak made strong in the Savior's love. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you, Lord. How many of you are glad you're a believer this morning?
Amen.
That's going to make all the difference one day. Nothing else in this world is more important than being a born-again believer in Jesus Christ. Amen. Especially in this hour in which we live in some crazy times, but our foundation, as we just sang, is Christ, the cornerstone. We build our lives on Him. In this time of desperation, when all we know is doubt and fear, there is only one foundation. We believe, we believe in this broken generation. When all is dark, you help us see. There is only one salvation. We believe. We believe. What do we believe in? We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that He conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and He's coming back again. We believe. We believe, oh God. Hallelujah. So let our faith be more. Church, live loud. Our God will save. We believe, and the gates of hell will not prevail, for the power. in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that He conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and He's coming back. He's coming back again. He's coming back again. We believe. We believe. Oh, we believe, Lord. Hallelujah. We believe, oh God, You're coming back again. Oh, thank You, Lord. We praise You, Jesus. Come on, lift our voices and our hands in praise to Him this morning. Hallelujah. You believe it? Lord, we believe it today. We thank You, Lord, today. Hallelujah. We're staking our future on Your promises, God. Hallelujah. Great is Your faithfulness, Lord. You've never lied. You've never told a lie. God, Your word is truth. Your word is power. Your word is the way. We trust and we believe You, Lord, today. We know there's going to come a day, Lord, when You're going to take us. In a moment, the twinkling of an eye, the Bible says. Earth's gravity will lose hold on us and we will be translated to that place that You've prepared for us. Lord, we can only imagine what that is going to look like. We can only imagine, God, what You have prepared for those who love You and who serve You. It'll be worth it all. Everything, valley, trial we face here on earth will be worth it all when we see You and we stand before You. We thank You, Jesus.
Surrounded by the
Thank you, Jesus. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord, today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
There are things far beyond the limits of your minds. There are things that I have worked for you behind the scenes, unknown to any human being, but things that are to bless you, things that serve my purpose in bringing you closer to me. There are things in this life and the life to come that I am preparing for you. Do not be discouraged, for what I have for you is beyond all human joy, beyond all understanding, beyond all imagination. Trust in me and experience my goodness.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise God.
Praise your name, God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord, today.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord.
Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, for hearing the prayers of thousands of people for the last nearly 50 years. And we thank you, Lord, for the overturning of this Roe v. Wade decision. We thank you, Lord, for the millions of babies whose blood has cried out over the last years for this to be overturned. We know, Father God, that there's still a battle ahead. We know we live in a culture, Lord, that is violent at times when they don't agree with something. And Father God, we love the sinner and we hate the sin. And we hurt for those who have gone through difficulties, including abortion, including all the other different atrocities that people face in this life, and we hurt for them and we pain for them. But Lord, we're so thankful that maybe this stand of righteousness in our country would cause your blessing to come again over this land. Lord, we know that the way of righteousness is not always popular. You said in your word, it's the narrow road that leads to life and life eternal. And not everyone finds that. In fact, you said few find it. It's the broad road. It's the road that a lot of people, even the majority at times, espouse that leads to destruction. And Lord, our job as a church, our job as Christians is to be the light, to light up the narrow way, to say there is a better way for our country, for families, for individuals. Lord, there is a better way to live. And certainly there is a better way to die. And that is to know that we belong to you. And that we will go to that place that we've sang about. We'll one day fly away to that place. We'll one day go to that place that we can only imagine at this point. So, Father, we rejoice in the victories, but we also rejoice and realize that we are going to have to continue to stand in the gap, continue to pray and seek your face, so that lives will be changed, so that revival will come. Father, we just pray that you meet every need here today. I pray that you be with our VBS this week. And I know later in the service we're going to pray for all of our workers, but we just pray for an outpouring of your Holy Spirit upon this week of outreach to our community. We pray that children's hearts are changed and that you would touch them and bless them as you've told us in your word. Father, we pray for others who are not feeling well. Just pray that you touch those who've been battling illness or sickness. Those facing other needs, we pray that you meet those needs. And Father God, we just pray that your will be done in this body, in this church, in this state. As we go to the polls on Tuesday, we pray for godly people with wisdom, godly wisdom, to be put in these offices. We pray, Father God, for our nation. We pray for its leaders. We pray, God, for the peace of Jerusalem. Lord, bless this service. Touch hearts that are here today, that only you know what's going on there. God, minister to those in need, we pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated. Praise God. If you would, take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 13, verse 18. A rather lengthy title to the message this morning. The seed meets the need, and the leaven leads to heaven. I don't know that I've ever preached on this in my life, but it just was inspiring to me this week as I was reading and thinking about this coming week of Vacation Bible School. Jesus often taught in parables. Parables are earthly stories that have a heavenly meaning. An illustration, if you will. Jesus used a lot of illustrations to teach spiritual principles. And the two parables that we're going to read here in just a moment in verse 18 through 21 are twin parables that actually teach the same lesson. They're both teaching the same thing. So let's look at that. Luke chapter 13, beginning at verse 18 through verse 21. Then Jesus said, "What is the kingdom of God like? How can I illustrate it? It is like a tiny mustard seed that a man planted in a garden. It grows and becomes a tree, and the birds make nest in its branches." He also asked, "What else is the kingdom of God like? It is like the yeast a woman used in making bread. Even though she put only a little yeast in 3 measures of flour, it permeated every part of the dough. Father God, we pray your blessing upon the message this morning, the anointing of the Holy Spirit to minister in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I have in my hand here a little tiny bottle with a cork in it, and inside of this little tiny bottle is a mustard seed. And I know you can't see it because guess what? I can barely see it myself. It is, and I'm holding it right here. It is so very, very small. A mustard seed. I think we might have a picture of one. That's a finger, of course, of someone, and that is the mustard seed there on the finger. Very, 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 very small seed. We're going to talk about that seed in just a moment. In the second parable, Jesus speaks about yeast, or it's also called leaven. Yeast is a type of leaven that is used in baking. Most people, I don't claim to be a cook. I don't bake anything but grilled cheese. That's about the only thing I know how to make. So if I'm ever single, I'll just starve because I'm not a cook. But what is used in today's world, so I understand, so I've read, so I looked up this week, is baking powder. Am I correct, ladies? Is that the yeast? Okay. Anyway, a type of yeast is baking powder that is used in our day. Now, many times in the Bible, leaven or yeast is seen as sin. I equate that with sin. Not in this parable. You know, just because yeast is looked at as sin in one place doesn't mean that's the way Jesus uses that term every time. In this parable, the yeast is used because it's something that's just a tiny amount that permeates and makes a difference in the whole batch of dough. And so what was Jesus teaching us in these two twin parables? And that's what we want to look at today. I want to tell you three things that these parables tell us. Three things these parables tell us. Number one is this. The parables tell us about the kingdom of God. Number one. They're talking about the kingdom of God. In fact, Jesus asked a question, a rhetorical question, really, two times. What is the kingdom of God like? He says it twice, and he says it in both of these parables. In a nutshell, the kingdom of God is about people. It's about God reaching people. How many of you know that God loves people? Everybody. He's not willing that any should perish. He left the 99 and went and looked for the one. The Lord cares about people. Lost and found, he cares about them. He took steps to try to get people to come to know him and be forgiven of their sin. It's about people. God reaching out to the people that he created. As I said earlier in my prayer, God loves the sinner, hates the sin. And that should be true of us. We love sinners. We just don't like the sin. Because guess what? All of us were sinners at one time. All of us were in the wrong boat and on the wrong path and headed in the wrong direction. But somebody reached out with God's love to us, told us about the gospel, about Jesus dying on the cross, giving his life for our sins, and we accepted that, and we became born again and became children of God. So the kingdom of God is about God reaching people. The verses that lead up to these two parables, I think, perfectly illustrate that. If you'll look back a few verses at Luke chapter 13 and verse 10. It says, one Sabbath day as Jesus was teaching in a synagogue, he saw a woman who had been crippled by an evil spirit. She had been bent double for 18 years and was unable to stand up straight.
When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Dear woman, you are healed of your sickness." Then he touched her, and instantly she could stand up straight. How she praised God. Isn't that a wonderful miracle? A lady's been doubled over, bent over for 18 years due to an evil spirit that had come into her life and took control of her. I want to tell you, there's a lot of people on there in this world. They may not be demon-possessed and controlled by a spirit, but Satan has blinded them and has robbed them and has crippled them by sin and by destruction in their life. We are around them all of the time. They need the Savior. And I'm so glad that we know one who can heal, that we know one who can save, that we know one who can deliver somebody out of the bondage of sin. But the religious leaders, they weren't so happy about what Jesus did in verse 14. But the leader in charge of the synagogue was indignant that Jesus had healed her on the Sabbath. I tell you, a lady gets healed and set free, but it happens to be on the Sabbath. Sometimes people stumble over the stupidest things, don't they? They get hung up on the ridiculous. They obey the letter of the law and miss the spirit of the law. There are 6 days of the week for working, he said to the crowd, this indignant leader. Come on those days to be healed, not on the Sabbath. But the Lord replied, "You hypocrites, each of you works on the Sabbath day. Don't you untie your ox or your donkey from its stall on the Sabbath and lead it out for water? This dear woman, a daughter of Abraham, has been held in bondage by Satan for 18 years. Isn't it right that she be released even on the Sabbath?" This shamed his enemies, but all the people rejoiced at the wonderful things he did. And then Jesus tells the two parables that we just read about the kingdom of God. That's the kingdom of God in action. That's Jesus. Being rebuffed by the religious leaders didn't faze Jesus. The kingdom of God had come. The will of God had come to a lady who was desperately ill and desperately in bondage. And you know what? God's kingdom has not changed. He still saves. He still heals. He still delivers. He still sets free. He has not changed a bit. He's the same yesterday, help me out, today, and forever. He never changes. This coming week, there will be many little children within these walls and in those chairs and on this property whom Jesus wants to touch, whom Jesus wants to minister to, whom Jesus wants to be a part of their life so that when they grow up and when they get older, they'll still be serving Jesus and will end up in heaven and guide their families on the right path as well. His kingdom is about that. Jesus said in Luke 18:16, then Jesus called for the children and said to the disciples, "Let the children come to me. Don't stop them, for the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these children." Jesus loves kids. Jesus loves children. In the womb and all the way to the tomb, Jesus loves children. And we have been given a special, special privilege of reaching and teaching children this week. Satan would like to cripple these children with all of the wiles and tactics and maneuvers that he can. But I'm believing, church, as what these parables teach, that the seed of the kingdom of God and Jesus' love will be planted deep in their hearts and their lives will be forever changed. Can you say amen? And God wants to use you and me, and especially those who will be working this week. God wants to use you in whatever area, whether you're in the kitchen making refreshments, whether you're in the nursery, whether you're with a particular group, whether you're out in the sun doing recreation, whether you're doing a craft or a story or whatever you're doing. Or maybe you're registering the kids. Maybe you're just being like me and walking around and smiling and shaking hands and tousling heads. You know, hair. Hey, buddy. I wasn't exactly sure what that's called. Is it tousling heads? Will that work? All right. You know what I mean. So thank you to all who have signed up to serve. And thank you to all who have and will continue to pray for this week. These children will remember years from now bits and pieces of this week. Just as I remember bits and pieces of 50 years ago when I was in VBS. Let me ask you a question. How many of you in your lifetime in here today, you've ever attended a VBS as a child? Look at that. Almost every hand in here, you've been to a VBS. And I bet you I could take and talk to you, and you could tell me something you remember from that VBS years ago. I remember as far back as being 7, 8, 9 years old, being at the VBS at Main Church of the Nazarene in Enid. I remember making crafts. I remember refreshments. I remember going there and doing that. You know, here's the thing. Someone planned that. Some people prayed over that. Some people there prepared crafts. I remember the one of the crafts we always used. We used a lot of those little sticks, like popsicle sticks. Seems like we use those for everything. I remember one time doing something paper mache. We blew up a balloon, and then you put the paper mache stuff all over it, and it dries, and then you pop the balloon. I think we made a world, like we painted it blue and green for the land and made something that looked like the world. I remember some of those crafts and cookies and brownies. Someone had to be there. Someone had to take their time, maybe even take it off work or some vacation time to come and prepare those things. Somebody made decorations. Somebody put all of that stuff together 50 years ago, and there have been churches that are doing it before then and then for the last 50 years. So first and foremost, these verses, along with many others, tell us about the kingdom of God and tell us that it's about God reaching people, God planting the seed of his word in people, God putting the yeast that will permeate their life and fill their life to where they will be filled with God's blessing and his goodness through the days of their life. So first of all, these parables talk about the kingdom. Second is this, the parables tell us little is much when God is in it. Little is much when God is in it. These parables are parables of hope. Everybody say hope. They're parables of hope. A teeny tiny mustard seed becomes the largest of all garden plants when it grows into a tree that's like 10 feet tall, so big that even the birds can come and build their nest in its branches. From that little bitty tiny seed, it's hardly even visible. The little bit of leaven that can't even be seen as it's mixed into the influence, mixed in the flour, influences three measures of flour and permeates every part of the dough. So the next time you bite into your cheese coney with mustard from the Sonic, remember, much of what you are enjoying came from things that at one time were very small and seemingly insignificant. Yet, as we know, that seemingly insignificant things can have great power. Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 10 says, "Do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin, to see the plumb line in Zerubbabel's hand." Do not despise the day of small beginnings, of small things. A mustard seed and leaven or yeast seem tiny and weak and insignificant. What could they possibly ever accomplish? And I'm sure that what the Lord intended to become his church looked mighty weak, as one looked early on at the 12 disciples. Several of them were fishermen. They weren't educated. They were rough, tough fishermen. One was a tax collector, despised tax collector. One was a religious zealot. And they were all a crew of disciples that they probably didn't look like much. Even before that, the babe in the manger looked really weak and a powerless way to save the world. My friend Kirk Sullivan, who sung with For Him, has a song called "A Strange Way to Save the World." Baby, what's a baby going to do in a manger? What are this measly looking group of disciples going to do to really get the church started? After that, a follower, forsaken, whipped, and beat up carpenter on a cross likewise didn't look like much. What's he going to do? What's the son of Joseph and Mary hanging on that cross going to do? He's being whipped and beaten and he's dead. What's he going to do? Small seeds, small things. But God. But God was in it all. God was in that manger. God was on the cross. God was with those disciples and through the Holy Spirit later became in those disciples. And for the last 2,000 years, God has been building his church. The baby became Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus on the cross became the risen Lord. The 12 became 70, and then 120, and then 3,120, and then 5,000. And then they begin to multiply. And now today, there are millions and millions of people who are followers of Jesus Christ all around the world to the tune of some 70 million. And that's just the Pentecostals. If you add everybody, and I realize there are some people, they may name that they're Christian, but does the Lord really know their heart? And that's true of everybody. But they say that it's up to 2 billion people claim to be Christian, of the Christian religion. So it grew. That seed grew. And along with the millions and millions and millions of believers that started from just that small seed, that started from that little bit of leaven, there are millions and millions of books, tapes, CDs, periodicals, tracts, TV and radio programs, songs, colleges and universities, churches and parachurch organizations that all name the name of Jesus. Despise not the day of small things. This very church was one time just a little seed of a thing. 36 years ago, 36 and a half years ago, this church met in the living room of the Boykins with just a handful, 14 people. Before that, it was just an idea of men like Brother Gherkin's dad, who thought there needs to be a Assembly of God church in Noble. And so the leaders met and they talked to Brother Boykin, who was retired and crippled from the World War II, and along with his sweet little sister Katie that we all miss. We miss them both, don't we? but God. But God. Some planted, some watered, but God gave the increase. Little as much when God is in it, he said, I will build what? My church. Jesus said, I will build my church. And this week in VBS, he's going to continue to build his church. The seed's going to be planted. If the seed's already planted, it's going to be watered. It's going to be nurtured. Your hands and your love and your voice and your actions is going to water those seeds. Third and last of all, the parables tell us God is working even when you don't see it at first. Even when you don't see it, God is working. The mustard seed, tiny as it is planted in the ground, and for a while it is out of sight. Then it pops through the soil after dying in the ground. A seed has to die before it'll do anything. Jesus died in the ground. He died and was put in the ground, and then he was resurrected. All life begins with death. The seed died. And you know what? This isn't even the sermon, but I'll just throw this out. As a Christian, if we really want to be used by God, we also have to die to ourselves. Jesus said, who would come after me? Let him deny himself, take up their cross. In other words, die to themselves. Paul said, I die daily. In other words, I have to keep beating down the old person in me and let the new life of Christ reign and rule in me. So that seed pops through the soil and dies, and then it's put in the ground and dies, and then it pops through the soil, and then it begins to grow. And grows into that tree that's 10 feet tall that the birds nest in. That leaven, just a little amount, is mixed in and disappears in the batch of dough, and it works its way all through it, and then it just sits there in the dough. And you set that batch of dough on the counter, and what does it do? It rises. The dough rises. It begins to rise, and all because of the leaven. And eventually you have a fresh baked, hot out of the oven, hot roll like they have at Lambert's in Ozark, Missouri. I knew that some of you woke up right there. One they will throw at you all through the meal. How many of you have been to Lambert's? Let me see if you've been to Lambert's. Several. If you haven't been to Lambert's, you need to go sometime in your life and have one of their rolls. As you eat that roll, you don't even think much about the leaven or the yeast that made it rise, do you? I was there a couple of weeks ago when I had a presbyter's retreat in Springfield, and we went there. When I'm eating my hot roll, I didn't sit there thinking about, wow, I wonder what the leaven was like. I wonder about the yeast that made this roll rise. I wonder how long it sat on the counter. I didn't think none of those things. All I did was slap a bunch of butter on it and slap it in my mouth. I was laughing at Carol because they were throwing all these hot rolls everywhere. And, you know, they're big. There's most of them are like in three pieces. I mean, three that are together, you know. Big old hot roll. All of a sudden, she takes one, they throw one, and it's about that size. It was like the runt. It was like one piece of one roll. And she goes, man, I got gypped. I go, boy, you did. Lord must have knew you didn't need a big roll. Did I just say that? I'm in trouble. No, we got her another one because we all felt bad for that little tiny Lambert's roll that was a nothing. But you don't think about all that stuff when you're sitting there eating that roll. I have a point where I'm going with this. Just hang on. Some of you are thinking, he's off on some rabbit trail. No, I've got a point to this. Let me say this again. As you eat that roll, you don't even think about the leaven or the yeast that made it rise. But it did. As you put that mustard on your hamburger or hot dog, you don't think about the fact that it came from a super tiny seed. I like mustard on my hamburgers and hot dogs. But when I'm sitting there eating my hamburger or my hot dog with mustard, I'm not sitting there thinking about, wow, that was quite a seed that came from. Wow, I wonder how many seeds and how many mustard plants. I wonder where it came from. You're not thinking about that. Again, you're thinking about the taste of that hot dog or that hamburger with that mustard on it and pickles and cheese and lettuce that's about to enter your body and be a blessing. You don't think about all that, where it came from. But it did. And in our instant society where we want things instantly, we want things quickly, we have computers now, you can put something in and hit print, and out comes that sheet that could be several pages long of, just like Michelle has of the registration stuff, you know, for the VBS. You can hit that and it prints out names in an instant. You go to your microwave and you put your waffle in there, your whatever you're making, your grilled cheese that you need to heat up or whatever. You put it in the microwave and you put so many seconds on it and instantly it's hot. We got instant coffee, instant tea, instant everything. You don't have to go out and crank the front of your car. You just get in and put the key in and turn the key. You don't realize, or we don't often realize, that some things require time, and sometimes you don't see the results for a while. Hang on to that thought. Sometimes you don't see the results for a while. Like the mustard seed, you don't see the result. Like the leaven, you don't see the results for a while. Everybody say, for a while. So a word to those who serve and pray over this week or any other ministry you're involved in and something you're involved in for the Lord. Don't be discouraged if what you do doesn't seem to make a big difference or you don't see the results for a while. You don't see any big change at first. Some of you may be working VBS this week and you'll think, well, did I really do anything? Did I really accomplish anything? The rowdy kids I brought from my neighborhood seem still as rowdy as when I took them home on Friday. Did anything happen? I don't see any big change in my 8-year-old. Some things take time. That seed gets planted, it's going to take a time to grow. That leaven got in that dough and it's going to permeate all of it. It's going to take some time and one day it's going to produce a great harvest. Like the farmer, you must be patient and keep planting and keep praying and keep watering and keep fertilizing and keep believing. Keep being faithful. Have you ever heard of a Chinese bamboo tree? Anybody ever heard of a Chinese bamboo tree? That's an interesting plant. If I went out and decided somebody gave me a little seed and said, this is a Chinese bamboo tree, why don't you go plant it? I plant it, water it, know right where that little tree is going to be. All for the first year. Would I see any growth? See anything happen? Nope. There's something that happened in the ground, but I can't see it. So all the next year, I water that, and I tend to it, and do I see anything happen in the second year? Nope. 2 years, and I planted that 2 years ago and still not doing it. The third year, the fourth year, 4 years, and nothing is happening. Some of us said, well, forget it. There's probably been a few people in this world that the Lord has kind of been like that. Man, I started that seed in you and I haven't seen anything. Aren't you glad the Lord doesn't give up? The Lord's patient with us. He doesn't give up. And so nothing happens for the first 4 years of that bamboo tree. Year number five. If you've been faithful to tend to that tree and water it and do everything you're supposed to for the first 4 years, in year number five, in 1 year's time, that tree grows to be 90 feet tall in 1 year. Isn't that amazing? Google it up. I'm not telling you a lie. That's what I did. Now, I've heard the story before. I just was checking my facts this week. The leaven of your love for God will eventually rise into the hearts of those you minister to this week, and they will love and serve God. The seed that you are faithful to plant and water will grow into a large tree someday. I mean, we had witness a while ago. How many of you attended a VBS? Practically everybody in here. And you're here in church today. Now, granted, there are people that were in VBSs that are not in church today, that are not where they should be. But you know what? The Lord hasn't given up on them either. So in conclusion, I was talking to, well, actually, not me, Carol was talking to Cammie, our daughter, and they just had VBS this week or last week at their church. And Paxton, who's our grandson, and Debbie Rowland. Where's Debbie Rowland? And Debbie Rowland's grandson. We share a grandson there. Actually, we share two grandsons and a granddaughter in Houston. He'll be seven in a month. And he told his mom and dad he wants to be baptized. He's six. He said, I want to be baptized. I guess he's probably seen some baptismals, or they were talking about it. And Cammie and Jared asked him, do you know what that means? And he's very smart. He's smart as a whip. He knew exactly what it meant. It means that he loves Jesus, that he's asking to be his Savior. Now, they're careful to take their kids to church every week. They took their kids to VBS. Cammie helped with VBS and was one of the group leaders. They speak of the Lord in their home. And they had grandparents that loved the Lord. And they had great-grandparents that loved the Lord. And they have great-great-grandparents that love the Lord. That's been planting that seed. That seed's been watered. That leaven's been in there and it's growing. They put the leaven of faith in their family. They put the mustard seed of faith in the ground, and it's growing. So now the result is the seed is meeting the need, and the leaven is leading to heaven. Thank you, Jesus. The seed is meeting the need, and the leaven is leading to heaven. Whatever you do for the Lord, you may not always see the results at first. Keep being faithful. God sees. That God is doing something when you don't always see it. Hallelujah. This week will be a week of planting seed to meet the need and introducing the leaven that leads to heaven for many, many children. And that seed and that leaven is Jesus. Plant the seed and introduce the leaven, Jesus. Plant the seed, introduce the leaven, and it's Jesus. I'd like for all of you that are going to be serving in VBS, if you just come and stand across the front here, we would like to have prayer for you this morning. We want to pray for a great week and for God's Holy Spirit to minister. You can just stand and face the audience first. Our big thank you to our director, Phyllis. Phyllis, raise your hand. Phyllis has worked tirelessly organizing this crew, this group, for the last 6 months, 8 months. I don't even know how long it goes. I asked her about it a long time ago. And God is working. And I know many of you have a part and have just, Pastor Phil mentioned Debbie earlier. And I know there's others that you'll be praying or you'll be bringing kids or you'll be lifting up this week. So I would just like for us to pray over this group now and pray for the Holy Spirit. Would you stand with me this morning? Would you just extend your hand toward these workers today? And would you just pray that the Holy Spirit would work through them as they plant the seed and introduce the leaven of Jesus? Father, right now, we just pray for a great, awesome, wonderful week here at Noble Assembly of God. We thank you, Lord, for all of the time and effort. We thank you, Lord, for the money. We thank you for the provision of talent, everything that has been needed to have a wonderful week of reaching and planting and watering and believing for kids' lives to be impacted so that 50 years from now, should the Lord tarry, maybe one of them might stand before a church and remember a day when they went to Noble Assembly of God's VBS and they gave their heart to Jesus. Father, we just pray now your Holy Spirit anoint each one of these workers right now. Anoint them all, God, right now. Pour out your Spirit upon them and pour out your Spirit upon this week, we pray, in Jesus' name. Would you just lift your hands and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful opportunity to spend time with your treasures, with the children that you care so much about. We thank you, Father. Thank you for the souls that will be saved. Thank you for the lives that will be changed, for the boys and girls' hearts that will be touched and ministered to, that will affect their families for many, many years to come. We hallelujah. We say hallelujah and thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen and amen. Praise God. Give the Lord a good hand of praise. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And Father, we just thank you for this time together, for this message this morning. We pray that you would just go with us, Lord. Use us to further your kingdom in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you today.